This year, it's Pop's turn for a laugh. So celebrate Father's Day with a gift that really pops. A customized Funko Pop of him. First, think of all the things that make your dad the man. Then turn those ideas into a personalized Funko Pop. Select hair, clothing, and skin tone options to match his fit. Don't forget to show off his favorite hobbies and sports with amazing accessories. You can even add his best friend. Start creating now at Funko.com.
Be unique, not anyone else. Express it now. Just pop yourself.
That's Funko.com.
In the dark, I play my dream. Purple culture flows like sweet streams. I'm the daddy breath the North Sea. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Purple culture, P-I-M-P, I'm the king. Back to love in everything. Bring a change, making it last. Join the purple culture.
Welcome to episode 447 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and sometimes even prostitutes.
Permaculture P-I-M-P, with soulful grace, in a Pimpcast where we find.
Oh yeah, good to be here with y'all. Okay, I'm really excited for this one. Thank you everybody for checking us out. Anybody that's here live, if you do me a favor, go ahead, hit that thumbs up so they can go ahead and start suppressing us on YouTube. And for everybody else out there, look, you know what time it is. I know most of our overwhelming portion of our audience are probably listening to this through the audio format while you're out there doing your chores. Look, I just came in a little while ago myself, cracking from dawn till dusk this time of year, so I know what it's like. Well, anyway, this episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. That's going to be here in North Carolina. TPC will get you 5% off. And anybody that wants to do the, you can be there in person or you can do it virtually. We got that option as well. So go ahead and check us out. TPC will get you 5% off. I'm going to handle all the housekeeping up front because for me, one of the biggest aggravations I have when I listen to a podcast is them breaking up the flow of a guest to talk about the advertisements. Look, this stuff is important and I understand it. And all my sponsors out there, you're just going to have to deal with it because I'm handling it all up front. Anyway, right out of the gate, Wave Watch, Billy 100 will get you $100 off that thing. And if you've noticed every single video you see me doing in Asheville, guess what I'm wearing? Yeah. That Wave Watch, and I got it on the Selfeggio setting because it keeps me from going upside the heads of some of these hoople-headed marchies I run into in Asheville. So Billy 100 will get you $100 off of that. Wellness Blanket, 10% off with promo code PERMA. I call that thing Michelle's Whoopie every single evening as we're about to kind of ease into the night. I don't care. I mean, we don't even use the air conditioner where I am, and she is still wrapped up into that thing because it keeps her chill. Anyway, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And finally, Nessa's Hemp, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Folks, I had on Nessa either last week or the week before. Sorry, y'all. Every day seems like a Monday as of late. Anyway, that stuff gets me squared away. Remember, I'm wearing the watch, but I'm also making sure I got a dropper of that stuff because it's easy like Sunday morning. That's what I'm talking about. All right, y'all, like I said, I'm excited for this one. But right off, let me give you a shout out to my co-host, my son, William, the pastor-raised pimp over there. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, today's definitely felt like a Monday. Past couple days have felt like a Monday. You're spot on with that.
Yeah, well, you know what? The good thing about this Monday, it's a good way to start the week. Now, everybody that listened last week, I had on Tag from Life Done Free. And what was he talking about, folks? How to defeat all of these D-centers. By the way, y'all, I can't say that word right now. I was just telling Todd and William before we go live here. He was talking about the ways in which they have defeated everything from the solar industry to you name it out there in Kansas, and he told you how he did it. Well, what was he really getting at? We didn't really talk about it much, but really what he was talking about was decentralization. Well, I can think of nobody better to discuss that very topic than my man Todd Pittner over at the Well, you know what? Let's get him on here. Todd, are you live with us?
I am live. If you have taken me off mute, You might want to put me back on mute after a few minutes, but whatever. Yes, I'm here.
No. We definitely don't want to do that. Well, Todd is a co-host over at DTV. And William, why don't you read a little bit of Todd's bio so everybody can know why he is so important?
Todd Pittner is a personal sovereignty advocate, educator, and co-host of Decentralized.tv alongside Mike Adams. For years, Todd has interviewed leading voices in decentralized technology, finance, health, freedom, food sovereignty, privacy, and self-reliance, helping thousands of families learn practical strategies for reducing dependence on centralized systems. As founder of my575e.com, Todd teaches lawful asset protection and private association structures and generational wealth preservation. His work focuses on helping ordinary people keep more of what they earn, protect what they own, and reduce unnecessary personal liability. Beyond finance and legal structures, Todd's is a hands-on practitioner of resilience. Over the past 3 years, he has transformed his Florida property into a thriving permaculture food forest and has firsthand experience implementing emerging agriculture technologies, including the DPE Agriculture X system. His presentations bridge the gap between theory and action, offering practical insights into creating a more independent, abundant, and decentralized life. Todd's message is simple. Freedom is not a political slogan. It's something families can intentionally build one practical, decentralized step at a time.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so folks, Todd, in so many different ways, and I'll be honest with you guys, I didn't really plan it this way. He's going to be in so many ways picking up where our last guest left off, because it all comes down to decentralization. Well, Todd, right off the bat, I want to give you a congratulations on the first birthday of your grandson. You know, I know that happened yesterday, so congratulations on that, bud.
Well, the party was yesterday, but today is his actual birthday. So, Emmett, shout out to you. Happy first birthday. What a godsend he has been.
Gentlemen. Yeah, man, I'm all about it. We just did the same thing for my grandbaby a couple of years ago. She's now 2.5. So, yeah, so, man, it's so fun at that age. Anyway, well, let's just jump right into it, bro. I'm sorry.
Insert in there. God blessed me with 4 daughters. So I've not had the pleasure of having a William in my life. So, man, my little Emmett, I have plans, gentlemen. I have plans.
Yeah, I can't wait to find out what those are, man. Yeah, girls are wonderful and awesome. But I'm shocked that you're not a little more gray than what you are right now.
Oh, one other thing, just to touch on one of your sponsors. You turned me on to Nessa's Hemp, and I want to thank you. So I'm like a week into it, and like the DPE Agriculture X buried in my back property, I can't tell you exactly how it works, but man, it's working. So thank you. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you, because of Todd, and folks, we're going to cover this. Everybody that was wondering, what is that device you've been talking about? Todd just mentioned it right there, and it was because of him that I wanted to reach out to somebody that I thought was trustworthy, and because I listened to his Decentralized TV every single episode, folks, I haven't missed one, because I'm such an avid listener of that podcast, I was like, okay, well, you know, he built a little bit of rapport with me electronically, so the inventor of it, I said, look, hey, before I move to buy one of these things, you're going to have to hook me up with Todd Pittner. And he did. So, you know, it's kind of cool because we're able to exchange ideas. And folks, that's exactly what we're going to do tonight. So we're going to cover all that. But right off the bat, Todd, I've been talking a whole lot about decentralization. What originally woke you up to the dangers of a centralized system?
Well, I think everything came into focus during the pandemic, right? I mean, it just became self-evident. When you took a look at what I call the Druid Babylonian bastards and, you know, the people that were in charge and that were on the mainstream all of the time, you recognized very, very quickly that it was all just a macro script, right? Everything that was being spewed upon us through that horrible, horrible thing we call the television, right? It was just obvious to me. I'm like, man, I think you kind of have to be stupid to not understand that this is literally a hoax. You know, this is just trying to hurt us into bad places. And so, you know, that is what I would call centralized control. That's what they were trying to induce upon us, is centralized control. And that really woke me up and got me started to thinking about everything. And at the same time, I had gotten into crypto in a pretty heavy way, but not just any kind of crypto. I don't like public ledgers. I don't like personally going number two at the O'Hare airport with the door being clear, right? I like an opaque door, man. I'm not doing anything nefarious in that stall. I'm just going to the bathroom, but I don't need everybody seeing me going to the bathroom. So that's my analogy of the difference between private crypto and public blockchain crypto. So BTC is a public coin, public ledger, but then you have coins like Monero or Epic Cash that are private, right? And so I launched a YouTube channel on that. And for about 3 years, I was covering that. And then all of the sudden, one Sunday afternoon, I'll never forget it, about 3.5 years ago, I get a call Sunday evening. And it was like, "Hey, Todd, this is Mike Adams." And first of all, I mean, it was dead on, right? I'm like, who do I know who does a perfect Mike Adams impression? But then I ferreted it out really quickly that it was really him, the health ranger, you know? And for those of you who don't know Mike Adams, well, you know, you all know Mike Adams. I'm sure if you're listening to the Pimp podcast, you know Mike Adams. So he told me, he said, "Hey, man, I have really enjoyed your content on YouTube related to private crypto. I've learned a lot. I'm a subscriber." And I'm like, wow, I had no idea. And then he told me, he said, "But you know what? I just wanted to run something by you because I really love how you interview people and I love how you talk to people and you have a really good sense of humor and you're witty and blah, 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 blah." And he said, "Would you be interested in being my co-host for a new program I'm launching called Decentralized TV? And it's going to be, in my mind, it's going to be all about escaping centralized control, providing people with not just the problems of this world, but decentralized solutions." And I was like, wow, that sounds fantastic, Mike. And that's where it all started. So we are approaching this month, the 23rd of this month, to where it'll be our third year anniversary, Mike and mine. And we have done, I don't know, about 125, 150 shows, something like that, with just amazing guests. I really encourage people to go to decentralized.tv and just binge watch. Go back as far as you want, because every episode is timeless. It's as relevant today as it was when we recorded them 2 years ago, 3 years ago, etc., because it's not current events based. It's decentralized living based. And gentlemen, Billy, William, you guys are living it. You're living the decentralized lifestyle. So I was really excited to talk to you guys and bend your ear as much as otherwise. Does that help?
Yeah, absolutely. I will say that somebody out there is going to clip that part out that you said, yeah, you and Mike are going on your 3-year anniversary, and there'll probably be some AI included in there. You just never know, man, these days. And so just going to give you a heads up there. Son, you want to kick it off?
Yeah, decentralized is something that, I mean, it shows up in the episode of this or the name in this episode. It's in the name of your show. It's something that's brought up a lot, and we also have a lot of new people to the whole freedom-minded living. Could you explain what decentralization is and why it's a better alternative to the centralized systems that we have right now?
Sure. I think the better way to describe it would be, what is centralization, right? Centralization would be something like YouTube, okay? It's centralized control. We voluntarily use it. We produce on it. We publish on it and whatnot. But if you say the wrong thing that violates the narrative, the mainstream narrative, what do? Strike one, strike two, strike three, you're out, right? That's centralized control. That's somebody controlling you. Whereas Mike Adams, who's the most deplatformed human being on the planet, he decided to pull out his big, beautiful internal middle finger and be able to say, here's my line in the sand. I'm drawing it. And no, YouTube, you move, right? And he launched Brighteon, which is a decentralized platform that no one can ever censor the way he created it. So he's a man who lives by a decentralized strategy. So whatever centralized finance, okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the banks that we use, right? So we put our wealth in the banks, and I've had people with what I do, helping people keep more of what they earn. Sometimes their banks decide they're not going to allow this adult who earned their money wire me the funds to be able to acquire a lawful unincorporated nonprofit association. They'll just say no. That's centralized control. So when you think about all aspects of your lives, centralized food. What about centralized food? Well, you know what? When the food shortages come because the strait jacket of Hormuz, right? Oil hasn't been flowing, right? Hasn't caught up with us quite yet. I think July, the beginning of July, is going to be when the you know what really hits the fan. And all of a sudden, you're going to have just skyrocketing gas prices and diesel prices, and the food delivery system is going to be it's going to be crushed. And so what's going to happen is you're going to have shelves that aren't going to have the food that you're so used to just saying, hey, honey, let me zip to the store and pick up X, Y, and Z, right? So you're dealing with centralized food delivery and production. So as you guys demonstrate, we live a decentralized food strategy life to where our food to table can be as close as walking out our back door into a food forest where we are growing our own food.
Todd, to that point, I mean, you just brought me exactly. I know so many people are waiting with bated breath to find out exactly what we're talking about. Now, for those that don't know, or the ones that are just getting into this program, folks, William and I have shown you how to grow everything for free, whether it's your chickens. You know, growing vegetables largely for free isn't the difficult part, but it's keeping it maintained, you know, through winter storms and all these other things that we've worked on and tried to find solutions for. That's another thing altogether. But yeah, we've shown you how to feed all of your chickens, pigs, your ruminants. It doesn't matter. We've shown you how to do all that. And Todd came up with a way. I call it an insurance policy, really. That's exactly how I see it. Is everybody knows that we are being dumped on every single day with this garbage that's coming from the sky. In fact, I spent probably an hour on the phone with Dane Wigington last night talking about this very thing and how it is ramping up like nothing you've ever seen before. And anybody that's listened to this podcast or watched any of the videos, you've seen short after short or long-term video, whether I'm wearing things that say, you know, stop poisoning the sky, whatever the case may be. It's kind of hard to be decentralized in a meaningful way when you grow your food that's better than organic, when every single day they're dropping poison and nanobots and who knows what else out there every single day on this stuff. And I've been praying forever and a day to find solutions to this. And all of you know that I'm telling the truth. Well, lo and behold, I see a DTV episode and Todd with this device that I'd never heard of before. I'd tried, as many of you know, I've tried everything out there. They may work for a week, maybe 2 weeks at the most. And then all of a sudden it's right back to business. But Todd came up with this device that I was a little skeptical about. As I told you a moment ago, I reached out to the guy that makes it, or at least is in cahoots with the guy that makes it, and said I had to get a hold of Todd. Well, immediately, Todd, you know, you were so gracious. you know, you don't know me from Shinola, but you're sending me video after video after video of watching this thing work, which made me pull the trigger. So why don't you tell us exactly what that is? Because everybody and the great grandmother, and here in a moment, we'll play some of this video that you sent us.
Sure.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about what this device is and how did it get on your radar?
Yeah. Let me give you the backstory. So I installed my food forest 3+ years ago. Okay. I had it professionally done by the folks from foodforestabundance.com. The fourth interview Mike and I ever did was with Jim Gale, CEO. And I was just smitten with the notion. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to battle my HOA. And I did, and I won. And I'm going to install a food forest. My back property was nothing but, you know, green poison grass, right? Because I was keeping up with the Joneses to make sure that it just looked beautiful. And so I hired these folks. And by the way, I'm working on a full documentary that's going to be well over an hour that documents it all the way from that original day where I recorded the green grass to where we are today, which is a video. We're going to just show people, give people a little bit of taste of what, where it is now. And, I was so excited about it. You know, the first year, you know, look, when you plant a baby food forest, it's not going to be food for your body, you know, in a year. But it is, I tell everybody, it is absolute food for your soul. I so highly recommend planting a permaculture food forest. And you don't have to have a green thumb. You just have to have the right plants and design and et cetera. So I installed it. Now, fast forward into the second year. Okay. I live in Tampa, Florida. And that second year we had two doozy, I mean doozy hurricanes that just slammed us. You know the ones that were the same weather modified ones that made their way up to your neck of the woods and destroyed Western North Carolina, right? And so I knew that was a weather modification system that they created. Whoever they are, I call them the Druid Babylonian bastards. So, you know, it devastated my food forest. I mean, totally wiped out my bees. You know, I was raising bees, but I have a low area in the back property. And so the next morning I woke up and all of my bees were floating that, you know, and broke my heart. I mean, just broke my heart. I thought, you know, I can never replace those bees because it would be irresponsible because it's going to rain again one day and flood that back area. And I can't have the bees closer to the house than that. Anyway, so I'm out of the beekeeping business. But you know, I did what I did, and nature is nature and nature's resilient, and it came back pretty well, and I replanted some things and such, and I figured out how to be able to stake my trees because everything got so wet and the winds were so high, it just uprooted my food forest, guys. So it was like not back to square one, but it was pretty darn close. So into the third year, I'm like, okay, this is the year. This is the season. I'm super excited. Everything's coming in. It's looking mature and fantastic. And then weather modification, you know, early January hit. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm 62 and I've lived in Tampa, Florida area, other than a couple of stints elsewhere, since I was 23. January in Florida doesn't get to a sustained 2-week, 27 to 30 degree range. No, I was looking up every frickin' day and they were crisscrossing the skies. And then it would become that soupy, nasty, suffocating crap that you know you're breathing in something that is bad. And that is when all of the cold temperatures started to happen. Well, everyone, I mean, I am just, it's so sad. You guys have seen the pictures. My food forest, it like killed everything. It was like Chernobyl, you know, or what I envisioned post-Chernobyl would look like. And so I was pissed off, guys. I mean, because you're right, Billy. It's like we can't do anything about them dumping that crap, you know, from the skies, right? And so then, as, you know, the good Lord's work would have it, all of a sudden, one of my decentralized TV viewers reaches out to me and says, "Hey, Todd, are you familiar?" And he gave me a link to DPE100.com. And he goes, are you familiar with it? You should look at this. You should get these guys on as a guest. I mean, wow, it's like a it's like a chemtrail buster. It's something that turbocharges your food forest production and everything. I think it's really fascinating. And I'm like, you got my attention. So I did what I do, and I took a deep dive in it. And then I reached out to Dr. Presser, who's the gentleman in Australia who kind of represents this, who put me in touch with the inventor of this technology out of Italy. And I talked to Mike about it. I didn't talk to Mike about it yet. What I did was I said, screw it. I am tired of investing thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars in my back property to reinstall freaking food forests. So I said, once and for all, I don't know if this is going to be a big paperweight, if I'm going to be conned, I don't know, but I'm ordering this thing. Now, it's not cheap. You know, as you know, it's like the one I got is like $7,000, right? But I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to see if it is as advertised, because the testimonials on the site were pretty darn impressive. So I got it, and I think I sent you a full video, a four-minute video. But if anybody wants to see it, go to decentralized.tv and scroll down about 5 or 6 or 7 episodes, and it'll say EMP is the big first three letters of the title, and you guys can watch it. And then what you will see is you will see me literally installing it. It was a day that it was nasty. It was chemtraily. It was just hanging over my head, oppressive. And I dug this 6-foot hole. It was hard. It took 4 hours with a post hole digger, because you have to build it really wide at the base to be able to get the wires to be perpendicular with the ground. And then you backfill it with all of the dirt. And then, you know, the device is only 4 inches above the ground. Everything else is underground. This big copper, you guys will see it if you go to decentralized.tv and watch it. Now, then I look up and it's just cloudy as crap. Chemtraily as crap. And so I put on the antenna. I screwed in the antenna. And you know what I'm talking about, Billy. And when I put on that antenna, I took, you know, my shovel, and I'm just kind of patting down everything, making it hard. And then I look up and I'm like, holy cow. I can't believe it. It's like the clouds, they were just breaking up. The blue was coming through, and the clouds looked like little pieces of popcorn, right? I mean, it just like pop, 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 breaking up. And so I get out my camera and I record it. So everybody, you can watch it. And I'm an empirical guy, so I didn't know if this thing was going to be a $7,000 paperweight or if it would work, right? But I witnessed it. But here's the best part. Then I went in and I took a shower and I came back out, and man, for the first time in I don't know how long, I saw a really nice stretch of blue skies right above my house. And then I had to go in and do something else, and like, so from the time I put the antenna on to, I think it was like three and a half hours later, I walk out with my German Shepherd. It was pristine blue sky like I haven't seen since I was a kid, I swear. And it was all around, and I recorded every bit of it. Now, I will tell you, that wasn't just coincidence. And you know what? Every day since then, the only clouds I ever see are what I call God's clouds. You know, the ones where when we were young and we said, "Dad, look, that one looks like a fish. Dad, look, that's Snoopy up there." You know, those are the awesome clouds, right? But what happens is this device, and I will tell you, I have it written out here because I asked the inventor, "What is this?" so I can describe it to people. And he said, here we go. He said, "What I engineer is a superconductive passive transducer with quantum material processed by crystals. So, you know, war game that one out, gentlemen. But all I can tell you is I know that it works. I see that it works. But above and beyond just the thank you, God, for letting me see the blue clouds again, what happens is this device for a 20-mile radius busts up the clouds and it brings our atmosphere back to God's atmosphere as intended 10,000 years ago. And what, as I understand it, what it does is it creates these negative ions that attacks all the crap that they're pouring down on us, and it renders them inert. So they just fall to the ground, but they don't poison the ground because they're inert. And then what it does underneath the ground, I don't know, but apparently for 3 miles, it has a positive impact on all of the growth of the produce, the trees, all of nature, and it even impacts the animals, the bees, the butterflies, the birds, to where it just, it takes all of the man-made frequencies and it just puts a hedge of protection around your property. That's the way I look at it. So now, this morning, I sent you guys a video because I'm telling you, it was just 3 months ago that it was all devastation. And so if you'd like, maybe you could just show them that quick video to see how it looks now.
Okay, it's a beautiful morning. It is June 1st, my grandson's first birthday. And I'm just from the balcony. I want to just show you before I go downstairs and give you a walk through the food forest. But I just want to show you how incredibly abundant, robust, and thriving this food forest is. Now, I have now 3 years of food forest experience, and it has never gotten like this. And keep in mind, we're just talking, what, we're 3 months after I installed the DPE Agriculture X. When I go down there and I give you a little walkthrough, you're gonna be able to see close up just how robust everything is. And I'm gonna go back here to the back property. Those are two beautiful loquat trees that we just planted a while back. I mean, like, I don't know, right? Those were installed before the freeze. But everywhere, I'm telling you, everywhere, it's just so beautifully abundant. And now we're starting to get racks on the bananas already. Not here, but over here. I'll give you a tour. Right, buddy?
Well, if it weren't for the videos that you sent out there to me, Todd, honestly, I can't thank you enough, because that was what made me pull the trigger, because I've been down the rabbit hole on some of these devices, and Dane Wigington is a good friend of mine, and you know, Dane's always like, man, it's not going to work. It doesn't work. I've tried them all. But until I saw your testimonial out there, because, you know, even on the website, I'm like, okay, yeah, these people are making high claims. Is that a coincidence? Are these even legit? I don't know. But because I listened to your program, I'm thinking, okay, well, at least I have some rapport with this guy. At least I understand. He appears to be a pretty honest guy to me. Right off the bat, people are going to ask, are we being paid? No, I am not being paid. Todd, are they?
Penny, I wouldn't accept it if he offered it. This is, you know, decentralized TV has always been my form of activism. Same with Mike, right? And so, no, this is something that I went into this honestly, meaning I put my money where my mouth is. I am like that. I will dive headfirst into the shallow end with different things. You know, we interviewed a gentleman and he was talking about the electroculture. So I went and bought just a boatload of copper wire, and man, I installed it all throughout my food forest, and you know what? It didn't do squat. So I was suspicious, but I don't know what it was about this one, guys, but I just thought, man, I'm going for it, you know. So good on you for making the same decision. And I know that you're also monitoring it. And by the way, everybody, just as an FYI, Mike Adams got his own and he has his ranch. But what Mike is doing differently than I did, or perhaps you are doing, is he, you know, he's Mr. Mass Spectrometer. He bought a very specific piece of equipment to where he is literally in process now of measuring all of the frequencies on his ranch, all of the, I don't know, the what he measures. Mike's Mike. And then he's going to install it, and then he is going to measure it, you know, for the next, like you, he's not just going to come out and say, oh, it works. You know, he's going to measure it over, probably knowing him, you know, a couple of months. And then we're going to have the John Doe, the inventor from Italy, and Dr. Presser back on. And we're going to talk about what we have experienced. And you know what? I don't know what Michael come up with, but I have a sneaky suspicion it's going to be positive.
But well, the cool thing about this, son, let me just throw this in right quick. Cool thing about this is, folks, I've done the same thing. I put it in, and immediately the first one to notice it was my daughter-in-law playing with my granddaughter down in the driveway. And she's like, look at those clouds. They look like, now she had never seen Todd's video. She says, it looks like they're breaking apart. They look like popcorn. And wow, that's exactly what it looked like. I said, she said the very same thing. And I'm like, okay, I'm still thinking, okay, maybe this is a coincidence. I don't know. And then all of a sudden on a chemtraily day, kind of like the one you had, all of a sudden I start seeing blue. And then from that time until now, William and I had gone away to El Salvador for a week. And we get back every single day. There's a patch of blue. Now, there has been some other things that went on, folks. I kid you not, yesterday and the day before, this device, and I can't chalk it up to anything else, because I've taken video, because obviously I'm going to make a video ultimately about what's going on with this thing. This device would punch a hole up there. I would see crystal clear blue, the same color blue that I saw for the 30 days following that manufactured hurricane they brought up here.
Yep.
And then last 2 days, Todd, I don't know if you've had this experience, but this is exactly what's happened. My wife, I'm driving her crazy because I'm like, come out here and look at this thing. She's like, okay, it's been 10. How many times do you need me to look at this thing? I'm like, can you believe it works this well? And then the last 2 days, as soon as it would punch a hole in there, I kid you not, plane comes flying right through, dumps another load of it. It would break through that. Then here comes another plane. It happened at least 3 times. And then lately, they are tripling up the number of planes. I've never seen anything like this. Over pretty much the same exact spot. And, you know, every once in a while, we'll have a hole punch through. But have you witnessed any of that where you are, or am I just special?
No, the only thing that I witnessed was the second weekend after it was installed. I was in the back property where I have the loquat trees that I showed you, right? That's where the deer roam, and I always spread some deer feed back there and maybe some goodies for my raccoon friends. And I was back there spreading, and all of a sudden this black helicopter is flying over. We never have helicopters in the area. It's flying over. And it just stops right above my property. And I look up and I'm like, that's weird. And it was so high up, and I didn't have any kind of binoculars or anything to see. You know, I couldn't tell what the numbers were on it or anything like that, right? But it was black. And I'm like, that's just weird. And then it flew off. And I'm like, eh, you know, it's probably, I don't know, maybe it's Google Earth or something like that. Maybe they're just doing their rounds. And then all of a sudden it circles, comes back again, right? So then I'm like, man, I wonder, and I don't know, guys, I'm just hypothesizing here. I wonder if they know something's up around my property, and they're just wondering, maybe, hypothesizing, maybe they're saying, damn, what's up here? This isn't having the effect it usually has. Right? Why is this radius occurring, you know, that's like fending off these chemtrails? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it was total coincidence. Maybe there's some lost child and it was a news show. I don't know. But that was the only thing that was, and I have never seen it again. But you know, the way you install these, you can't see them. They're buried. And that antenna that goes up, that would be like sticking a needle and then looking, trying to figure out what the heck is special about this food forest, right? Yeah, it'd be impossible to tell.
Son?
Yeah, so speaking of your food forest, before we get off topic or anything like that, I do want to ask, do you have a favorite tree or species in your food forest, one that gets you excited? I mean, this is a permaculture, yeah. Permaculture pimp cast. Do you have any favorites out there?
Well, I'm telling you, this last season, well, my favorite is the tree that I planted when they were installing it. It's the only tree I've ever planted in my food forest. and it is, I call him Sir Awesome. It was a 7-foot avocado tree, and it has just grown like crazy. And man, after the freeze, I thought we lost him. It broke my heart, But now you can see it in the video. If you go look, it's, you know, as I'm panning to the left, it's just a huge avocado tree. Now, avocados take a while before they start producing, but I swear when it starts producing, I'm going to feed my village, man, because it's getting so big. And then the other thing I joke about with Mike on air is that I self-custody in papayas, and I love my papaya trees. And so they were totally devastated, lost them all. And so I had them install 5 papaya trees, and they're doing really, really well, and I can't wait. So those, and then the other thing is I love these, I don't know the right name for them, but we call them strawberry trees. It's like they have these little red berries on them, and you will never see them at the grocery store, these berries, because they don't last, right? You can't get them from the tree. One day they're a green berry and the next day they're red, and you better pick it right off the tree and pop it in your mouth. They also call it the cotton candy tree because it kind of tastes like cotton candy. It is the best flavor ever in my life I've ever tasted. I was just out there this morning picking a bunch. You know, I had like 4 of them that turned red this morning. I can't keep them on there because every morning I go out and that's what I do. So that's my favorite. But man, I have so many different species. My mulberry bushes have just been incredibly abundant. Love them. The loquat, and then I now have, you know, those banana trees, they like having babies, man. They're very prolific. So I now have over 40 banana trees in there. They just keep doing their thing, and those I will retransplant, right? But it's just awesome. It's the whole thing, the mangoes, the star fruit, the what's that tree that you that
moringa?
Yeah, moringa. The moringa I decided not to replant because I thought, you know, it got so huge and it was wonderful, and I'm like, you know what, I didn't do a damn thing with it in the first place. I didn't really know what they do. I know they're some super tree or fruit or whatever, so I just decided I'm not going there again this. So I didn't have them replant a moringa, but guess what, guys, it's resilient. It came back. And so now I'm really super eager to sit down and watch your videos, William, and see, you know, learn about them. And I haven't done that yet. I do have them. They're on my to watch list. But can you give me just a little 101, William, on what these moringa trees, why they're so great?
Yeah, for sure. The leaves, everything on the moringa tree is edible. So you can eat the bark, you can eat the leaves, you can eat the new growth wood on the end, on the tips of the branches. Wow. The leaves are a complete protein. They're like a vitamin pack. They have a bunch of minerals as well. Yeah, I mean, it just does everything. There's a lot of people.
Water purification.
Yeah, water purification too. You just eat the seeds.
The leaves?
That's what we do here. Like every day, my daughter walks over to the moringa tree and plucks 2 off for her and plucks 2 off for me. But you can take a branch and you can strip all the leaves and use it as a lettuce if you want to. It kind of tastes like a mild arugula or rocket.
Either one. Yep. Yeah. I've definitely tasted them. And they're not bad. They're a little unique, but you're right. They're a little more arugula-ish. But putting them in salads and such, no, they're excellent. One time, I took just a boatload of them. I mean, of the leaves, and I turned them into a smoothie and drank it. And it was absolutely disgusting.
it was like that. There, Todd goes again. You know, one is good, two is better. Why not dive off the, you know, dive into the shallow end head first, Todd? Just go for it. And it was like, ugh, no.
Oh my goodness, that is now that is an awesome practical joke if you ever wanted to pull it on somebody. Right. So, you know, we're getting down to brass tacks with as you're seeing that we're talking about decentralization kind of went on a little sideways here, and the entire reason for it is, what good is it, Todd, having a decentralized food forest, which is exactly, if you're growing tomatoes in the kitchen window, or if you're growing something out back in your little food forest, or you're growing this over here or that over there, folks, that is one chain that's pulling you out of the very, very, very centralized system where they grow for neither quality nor, I mean, all they're looking at in the grocery store is, does it look right? How long does it stay viable on the shelf? And does it ship well? That's all they care. And they pick everything green. So yep. You're decentralizing your food source in so many different ways when you're able to do this at home. But folks, there is other ways in which you ought to decentralize yourself. And this is one of the conversations I got in with Dr. Jack Cruz. He talks a lot about this too. I didn't really post any of those videos. It just wasn't congruent. But man, folks, if you haven't listened up until now, or you're just tuning in, this is the part you really want to pay attention to. All of it you want to pay attention to. And by the way, for the people that asked, I saw some in the chat there. You can go to DPE. It stands for Defense of Planet Earth, but that's not important. DPE100.com. And you can go over there. I don't have a discount code for you, folks. I don't have an affiliate deal with them. And like Todd, nor would I accept one, I don't think. Because honestly, this thing is an answer to so many different prayers out there.
Yeah. Not this. This is where you step up and you're like, this is our form of evangelism, of activism. We just want to let people know it exists. And man, if enough of us acquire these things across the country, across the planet, and we're battling them from down below, like when that you put that antenna on, the way I kind of think of it, that's just that DPE Agriculture's X little emerging middle finger. Yeah. And I love thinking about it that way.
I like the way you roll. And for all the folks out there thinking, okay, yeah, I know the price is a little bit hefty, but consider the radius that this thing covers. You could probably link up with your neighbors out there. You know, everybody throw a little bit in the hat, and then maybe you go in on one, or you get a bigger model like the one I just ordered today. I don't even think I told Todd about this. I got the model that's just a little bit bigger than that. And it's going to go in one of the projects that we have around here. So I ordered, or you, Michelle actually ordered that today.
You got the Zed?
No, the one between the Zed and the one between the one that you and I have.
Say the Zed, that's the big boy. The inventor said that if only 60 of those were installed worldwide, everything would be fixed. But they're very expensive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We're talking like 65 G's for the biggest one, if I'm not mistaken. And the one down from there is like 35. The one I got, the one that's between the second biggest one and the one that Todd and I have.
Yeah.
Because I would not be spending this money if I didn't believe in it in a big, big, big way. Because I'm sick and tired of seeing my wife coughing up a lung every other day with this garbage that they're dropping from the sky. And then there's some other things that we'll have to obviously have Todd back to talk about, some other healing modalities that we're trying to order right now, if it weren't for this stupid bank trying to tell us how we ought to spend our money. But that's another conversation for another day. Before we, oh, go ahead, Todd.
I was going to say, there you go. That's centralization at its best.
Touché.
You know, you are wanting to order a healing device as an adult, and they're giving you the Heisman, saying no, patting you on the head and saying, we're protecting you. Drives me nuts. Yet, you know, this device, which I also turned you on to, I dove into the shallow end head first with that one too, and I live it every single day, and I'm glad you ordered it. Yes, I will be back to talk about it when the timing is right.
Absolutely. With that said, folks, I really, really, really want you guys to hear what we're about to talk about right now, because really and truthfully, this is one of the biggest things that people that are awake do not even realize. I mean, so many people that are awake to what's going on in the world and this and that, that and this. Folks, there is a way to maybe destructure or decentralize yourself in terms of your money and who takes it from you or who's allowed to take it from you. Well, Todd started a whole nother little website over there. It's called my575e.com. But Todd, right now, so many people out there are wondering, what on earth is a 575e? Let me just break it down to you right there. And why did you create it?
Sure. So almost 8 years ago, a guy who I trust a lot, who you also know, Billy, came to me and he said, Todd, I've had this structure for 5 years, my wife and I, and I'm just now starting to talk to people about it because I wanted to make sure that, you know, it worked. And so there he was 5 years later, and he told me about it. And he said, this is a structure that allow you to keep way more of what you earn. If you are a 1099 earner or a W-2 earner, you know, if you operate a LLC, from a tax advantage standpoint, this is a structure that can lawfully help you keep way more of what you earn. Just like we can't say certain things in public about the C word or whatever, you know, there are certain things that I don't cross saying that, you know, talking about three letter agencies and such like that, but just trust me on this. And so he told me about this and I didn't know anything about it, but I trusted him. It's kind of how I roll. And so he introduced me to this guy named Dennis Gray, who is a 82-year-old gentleman who's the subject matter expert. He's been helping people acquire in this California established entity. Has to be California. You'd be an idiot to acquire one from any other state and operate it the way that we teach you to, because California has the codified case law that protects your personal liability. It's amazing. So my friend introduced me to Dennis, had a quick interview with him, got him on the phone with my CPA, and I'm kind of on bruh terms with my CPA. He'd been doing mine then for 20 years. And I said, Matt, what do you think, after we talked to Dennis? And he goes, I don't know, bruh, seems a little aggressive, but let's give it a shot. And so that's the level of due diligence that I did, right? But I was a big W-2 guy. My wife was a 1099 earner in a pretty meaningful way. And so we just did what Dennis says we should do and how we should do it. And the first year we saved a tremendous amount of money. But spirit of full disclosure, guys, I didn't know anything about it. I'm just following my friend's advice. And Dennis, dude, seems pretty credible. So my wife and I made the decision, all the tax savings that we realized we decided not to spend because we didn't know if the boogeyman was going to come knocking. So we got into the second year, same thing. We saved even more money. Going into the third year, I told my wife, I said, honey, the boogeyman hasn't knocked, and I'm really uncomfortable with the amount of money that's in this bank. And I said, let's instead just acquire precious metals, take self-custody, and then at least we'll be in an appreciating asset if the boogeyman comes. We could liquidate, and I think we're going to be, you know, it'll probably appreciate. And if there's a 10% penalty or whatever, probably take care of that. I don't think anyone goes to jail in this story, but yeah, I mean, that was my mindset, right? And then we got into the third and fourth year, boogeyman never knocks. Now, today I can tell you why the boogeyman doesn't knock, right? But into my fourth year, that's when I became Mike's co-host. And so I approached Mike and I'm like, Mike, I can't imagine helping people decentralize their lives in any more meaningful way than helping them keep more of what they earn, protect what they have, and decrease their personal liability. So Mike did what Mike does, and he became an expert in them. He hired a tax attorney out of California, spent 6 weeks of due diligence. Ultimately, one Sunday night again, it's Sunday nights with Mike when he calls me. He like calls me and to share the good news that, you know, he's really satisfied with his due diligence. And he shared that, you know, His tax attorney that helping him with it had told him that this has only been challenged two times. Now, this entity has been around over 100 years. I mean, I'm sorry, over 75 years. And he said, he goes, it's only been challenged two times by the IRS, and one was in 62 and the other was in 69. And it was about the very, very important fact with this entity is we have no duty to ever file anything with it, and we don't. And the IRS does an audit or what hasn't been filed. And you guys surely know this, right? This is important, okay? When we were snot-nosed, 17, 18 years old, had that first job, and our parents said that you need to file that first 1040, do you know we were never lawfully obligated unless we worked in the District of Columbia for the government to have ever filed that first 1040? But when we did and we signed it, we signed the confession form. We raised our hands and we said, we voluntarily want to be part of the taxpayers club the rest of our life. But just understand, we didn't have to. Now, our parents didn't know it. Most people didn't know it. I didn't know it until a few years ago, right? So really at bottom, what this is an opportunity to be able to get a tax ID number that's disassociated from our social security number, right? Whereby we rewind time and we're smarter now. We know we have no duty to file anything associated with it unless you want to raise your hand and say, okay, I want to engage to get back on that hamster wheel. So we don't. So my website is free, guys. You go to it, you put your name and email address, and that'll give you access to a 90-minute video interview that I did of the man, Dennis Gray. And then there's a PDF that you can download that talks about the 32 positive attributes of operating your own UNA. Now, other people who can benefit from this, or you should be interested, is if you own property, if you trade in crypto, if you acquire precious metals, if you have children and you want to keep them from probate. This entity does so much. Since I started talking about it, and by the way, Mike gave me the thumbs up, his tax attorney, the only negative he came back with was, yeah, you'd only want to operate one that was acquired in UNA or born in California, sorry. And that's the service we provide everybody. Doesn't matter where you live. It's where the entity is born. You can operate it from anywhere. But he said, I don't know, Mike. Maybe one day they'll legislate these out of existence. And when I told Dennis that, he laughed and he said, Todd, if Mike only knew how many California legislators I've helped acquire their own UNA, it would answer wow. that for him. He goes, these aren't going anywhere. And guess what? Many banks are California established. Unincorporated association. The FDIC is an unincorporated association. When Nelson Rockefeller coined the phrase "own nothing, control everything," guys, he was talking about entities like these. But this just happens to be an entity that is accessible to everyone. I will tell everybody that since I started talking about this on air, I've helped over 600 people acquire UNAs. We have a private Telegram group. Once you acquire one, you get a personal invite into that. We have 550 people in there now, and that's where all the support happens. And we have what's called a UNA biz directory in there. Think of it like a digital ebook. So if you're at that point to where you're, okay, how do I benefit if I'm a W-2 earner? What do you mean I can donate up to 60% of my adjusted gross income to the UNA and not lose control of the spend? We teach you about that. If you're an LLC operator, guess what? You can have your UNA be the managing member and lower your tax liability by up to 80, 90%. It's astonishing, right? All of it lawfully. So the last thing I want to say to that is you will learn about 90% of what you ever will just by going to the website, my575e.com, watching that interview, downloading the PDF. But we all have our own operating realities, right? Our own individual circumstances. So I make it very easy to do a private one-on-one consultation with me. You book it through the website. It is $150, but guess what? The only reason why I charge anything is because initially it was free. And what I realize is people don't respect free. There was 1 week, 7 out of 10 people didn't show up for the Zoom invite and or the Zoom call. And Mike said, Todd, there's a remedy for that. Just charge $150. So that's what I did. But I give it back. So if you move forward with the UNA, and frankly, most people who actually go to that level of discovery and then book a consultation with me, most of them end up acquiring a UNA, and you just deduct that from the investment of the UNA. How's that, guys?
Wow. I can't even begin to tell you how many people out there are, they're complaining about taxes. They're complaining about this. They're thinking, why am I spending money at an institution that is murdering people? I'm not with that. Or why, you know, we're finding out that the very same people are elected officials are eating children, and they have a fundamental issue in, you know, being involved in that whole system. Well, folks, I don't care where you are in the spectrum, where you are in the continuum, this is an answer. I don't know why anybody in their right mind would continue paying. Son, do you have anything regarding any of this?
Yeah. Quick question. Is there anybody who doesn't qualify for this? Anybody who should stay away for this, or is this all applying?
No, if you live, you need to be U.S. taxpaying citizen, right? So if you are from, I get a lot of people from Canada, from Australia, et cetera, that are looking in Europe. And unfortunately, I don't know if there are similar structures in those areas, but no, we got to keep it pretty focused to the U.S. But as far as that, no, I mean, you have to be above 18, you have to have a social security number, right? And that's just because ultimately the banks require it to be able to verify that you are you. And by the way, Nelson Rockefeller, own nothing, control everything. When you acquire your UNA, you are the secretary. You are the controlling secretary. And within the mission statement, articles of association, it clearly shows that you are the chief bottle washer. You can buy and sell on behalf of that UNA. But the difference with this entity is it can be and should be generational. Now, they don't pay out on death. So let's say that you had $1 million of assets in a UNA and you got hit by a bus. If you don't have the proper transfer on death document naming somebody else to be the secretary successor, well, these don't behave with a living will to where you're like, I have 4 daughters. I want, you know, my UNA to be distributed 25% to each of my daughters. Doesn't work that way. So we provide you with all of the right templates, the examples of how to properly fill everything out. But that's what's really cool about this. You know, you have your one-time initial investment, and then for generations to come, there's not annual filing fees, filing requirements, nothing. You're just operating financially off-grid. Welcome to freedom.
I can't think of a better gift for a parent to give to a child than exposing them to this information. If I had all the money that they've stolen from me until about a couple of years ago, imagine what you could have done with that, even if it were just a low interest bearing account. This is money that they stole from everybody out here, and they're going to keep stealing it. And folks, if you're looking for an option, a plan B, now there are a number of people in this space right now. And Todd, if you'll notice, Todd's the only one I've ever brought on here regarding any of this stuff, because some of these guys I'm not so sure about. This one, I'm 100% is on the up and up. And I can tell you a number of other reasons. But parents, think about ways in which, I mean, you know, everybody's taking it in the keister right now regarding these prices in the grocery store. How about offsetting some of it by, you know, looking into this? I'm not going to look, folks, I don't get anything for talking about this. Everybody's asking for decentralized solutions and all things. And guess what? We brought in Mr. Decentralized. Man, I'm just walking all over my own tongue today. But anyway, DTV, Todd Pittner, well, you want to go check him out.
Let me leave you with this. I would have never installed a food forest if I had not made the decision I did years ago to keep more of what I earned. Because I'll never forget when I made payment, I went to my safe, I opened it up, and I got, and Mine was a pretty big install, guys, and included that fence back there, and I have four water catchment containers. So I don't mind telling you, it was $33,500. And I walked out, and I have it on video, to where I'm handing them $33,500, and I'm joking, saying, panning, showing the food forest, saying, I am happy, excuse my language, I am happy to exchange this shitty green cash that is doing nothing for me for this food production that's going to feed me for generations to come. And that's, you know, and that's only because I followed through on something I knew nothing about. I kept more of what I earned, and everything that Mike and I are doing, I'm telling you, the beauty of all of this, beauty of talking with you guys, is the reason why I love the decentralized audience is everything is organic. You know, it's like one guy in our group over the holidays, he was saying, I love this group. It's all for one and we're the one, you know, that's kind of the sense. And that's what I get when I talk to you guys, when I talk to others. It's just beautiful, man. And I have a really, really dim view of humanity. And I believe that there are literally only 2% of us who have the ability to critically think the way we do, to be able to think about decentralization, to be able to think about permaculture, food forest, or, you know, any of the things that you guys talk about on the Pimp podcast every week. So good on you guys. You and your audience are definitely the 2%ers, and I'm just happy you invited me to come on.
Well, it's such a joy to have you on here. Todd, where can everybody find you? We'll link it all down below, but for, you know, the people that are listening live right now, I know there's got to be so many chomping at the bit. How do they find you?
Decentralize.tv. That's number one. Go sign up so you can be informed when we drop. When, you know, Mike did a survey, you know, about 2 months ago. It's like he's asking people, what do you like best? You know, he was talking about all of Brideon, everything. And overwhelmingly, the feedback was decentralized TV. They love the episode. So Mike decided to up the interviews from 1 a week to 2 weeks. So now we're doing 2 weeks. So you please go there. Like I said, all of the episodes are timeless. You can find me on Telegram, and it's real simple. And just search for at Todd Pittner, T-O-D-D-P-I-T-N-E-R. That's the best way to reach me. And then my575e.com. Certainly go there, educate yourself. And if interested, then, you know, it's really simple to reach out and book a private consultation with me.
Well, folks, I mean, I don't know about everybody else out there, but I'm absolutely blown away. And so many of you out there that write to me, I know you are as well. So blow up his email, blow up his website, go there, check it out. You're going to be so glad you did. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Let the idea unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, feeling that just groove. From the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life, for the magic's alive. Tune it to the beat, feel the fire and thrive.
This year, it's Pop's turn for a laugh. So celebrate Father's Day with a gift that really pops. A customized Funko Pop of him. First, think of all the things that make your dad the man. Then turn those ideas into a personalized Funko Pop. Select hair, clothing, and skin tone options to match his fit. Don't forget to show off his favorite hobbies and sports with amazing accessories. You can even add his best friend. Start creating now at Funko.com.
Be unique, not anyone else. Express it now. Just pop yourself.
That's Funko.com.